Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, May 17th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
the rhetoric on U.S.-China trade ramps up again.
Both sides are digging in for a siege more than a quick resolution.
China's currency weakens, the yen strengthens, and stocks in Shanghai slide.
Plus, Amazon makes a push into food delivery.
President Trump lays down talk of war with Iran. Plus, reaction continues over the White House immigration overhaul plan. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stash. Aaron Swartz. Brooks Koepka fired a 63, leads the PGA Championship. Mets lost in Washington. Playoff wins for the Warriors and Bruins.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures and European equities are heading lower this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down about 12 points. Dow futures down 99, NASDAQ futures down 37. The DAX in Germany is down 0.7%, the CAC in Paris down about 0.3%, and the FTSE 100 down about the same. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.9%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down 1.2%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 2.38%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.17%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.8% or 48 cents to $63.35 a barrel. COMEX gold little change, down 70 cents to $12.85.50 an ounce. The euro at 1.1164 against the dollar. The yen 109.69. Nathan.
Karen, the rhetoric on trade is ramping up again, with Chinese state media signaling the government is not interested in resuming talks with the U.S. As Bloomberg's David Finnerty reports, China appears to be digging in for an extended standoff.
President Xi, it's his legacy and he's a long-term. President Trump isn't. His election next year, and he knows, therefore, that they target certain industries that may hurt his base. He may be reluctant to sort of push ahead with this. So I think they're certainly going to call his bluff, shall we say. So I think they are quite happy to say that we'll play a bit of a long ball game on this one.
So for the time being, it looks like negotiations are paused. Bill Reinsch is senior advisor at the Center for Strategic and International Studies.
Right now, it looks like both sides are digging in for a siege more than a quick resolution. The two presidents, it looks like, will meet in Osaka at the end of June. That will be a very important meeting because really what's happened is the two presidents have kind of taken over the negotiations. They're clearly in charge. They feel free to overrule their negotiators. So they're going to have to get together to see if they can solve it.
That G20 meeting is set for June 28th in Japan.
Chinese state media says stimulus will be stepped up to support the economy, and we're seeing China's currency weaken on the back of those comments. Viraj Patel is global macro strategist at Arkera.
Beijing's got pretty good at playing the trade war in the FX markets. And I think, you know, we see this move as a textbook counter response to the tariff threats. 695 to 7 being the initial level that we're looking at for dollar CNY as the base. If it does go past 7, if this is a sustained trade war throughout summer, then we couldn't rule out something like 720.
And China's onshore currency is currently trading at 6.91 against the dollar.
Well, this all led to a mostly risk-off session in Asia today. Stocks in China led declines, with the CSI 300 falling 2.5%. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with some of the other action in today's session. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The current escalation of Sino-U.S. tension pushed the yen higher, the safe haven asset on course for a fifth straight weekly advance against the dollar. Despite yen strength, Japanese markets were higher Friday, along with those in Australia, but the Aussie fell to a three-year low against the greenback on the trade war angst. Despite the downward trend in Chinese markets, chip makers in the country were higher as investors bet the U.S. restrictions on Huawei technologies could mean opportunities for firms in the domestic supply chain. That despite some Huawei suppliers like Sunny Optical hitting the bottom of Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Julia, thank you. Oil heading for its biggest weekly gain since early April. Flaring tensions in the Middle East are boosting prices as Saudi Arabia accuses Iran of ordering a drone attack on its fuel pumping stations. Checking oil now, NYMEX crude oil is up 0.8% or 50 cents at $63.37 a barrel. Brent is up 0.6% at $73.03.
Turning to corporate news now, Amazon is buying into a European food delivery service, leading a $575 million investment in Deliveroo. Bloomberg's Joe Easton reports from London.
This kind of comes out of the blue, although we do know there has been signs of M&A activity in the industry. So you remember last year, Uber wanted to buy Deliveroo and they couldn't agree on a valuation, so that deal fell through. And there's also been some consolidation between the German and Dutch delivery firms. So there has been signs that something's brewing, but it's really the first sign that Amazon's coming in.
Food delivery stocks in Europe are falling on the news, with shares of Just Eat leading declines. They're down 7% in London.
Hewlett-Packard Enterprise is in advanced talks to acquire U.S. supercomputer maker Cray. That's according to sources who tell us a deal could be announced as soon as this week. Buying Cray would help HP Enterprise strengthen its position in the high-end computer market.
Turning to earnings now, NVIDIA is out with a forecast that paints a brighter picture for chip makers. Ann and Srinivasan cover semiconductors for Bloomberg Intelligence.
This is a big sigh of relief for investors who are looking for NVIDIA to return to its old growthy paradigm. It was an inline quarter with earnings leverage. So solid, good, big sigh of relief.
And shares of NVIDIA are up 1.5% in the pre-market.
Shares of Applied Materials are up more than 5%. The company, which makes machines used to manufacture chips, gave a stronger than expected forecast for the current period. That's adding to bets the slowdown in semiconductors could end soon.
And coming up today, we get a look at the manufacturing sector with earnings from Deere and Company. Here with a preview, Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Analysts say Deere's construction and forestry unit likely did well and accounted for much of a projected increase in the company's revenue. But Bloomberg Intelligence says the decline in U.S.-China trade relations, shaky farmer sentiment, low crop prices, and bad weather could cloud any margin recovery. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Jeff, thank you. And again, futures are lower this morning. S&P futures are down 12 points, Dow futures down 96, and NASDAQ futures down 37. The DAX in Germany is down almost 0.8%. The 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 2.38%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.17%, and the 30-year yield at 2.82%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thanks. It's 6:07 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr to find out more of what's happening in the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. President Donald Trump is said to be wary of drawing the U.S. into a war with Iran. According to people familiar with the matter, there is division within the administration over the approach to Iran. Asked by reporters if the U.S. was going to war, the president replied, "I hope not." One of Trump's campaign promises was to withdraw the U.S. from Middle East wars. Both sides of the aisle are reacting to the immigration plan unveiled by President Trump. It calls for a points-based system that prioritizes skilled workers who speak English but does not address DACA. Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal blasted the proposal, calling it insulting.
It is a mockery of what America means. Neither Donald Trump's grandfather nor my father would be able to come to America under this proposal.
Republican Senator John Cornyn is the chairman of the Subcommittee on Border Security and Immigration.
I think it's obviously just a start, but rather than have these debates over how do we compromise between border security and immigration benefits, I think it's a clear statement of what our immigration policy should be.
A federal judge has ordered portions of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report to be unredacted and made public in the criminal case against former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. In the UK, the prospects of a hard Brexit appear to be increasing after Theresa May agreed to set a timetable to step down as Prime Minister. Bloomberg's Alex Morales is in London.
Theresa May acceded to the deadline at a tense meeting with the executive of the 1922 Committee of Backbench Tories on Thursday. First, she'll try to get her already thrice-rejected Brexit deal approved in a vote in the House of Commons in early June. After that vote, and regardless of the outcome, she'll meet again with the committee's chairman, Graham Brady, to chart a timeline for a leadership contest. Former Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson became the latest and highest profile name to declare he'll run. The favourite to win, he's been arguing for a harder split from the bloc than May's deal allows. In London, Alex Morales, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, Brooks Koepka just turned 29. He's already won three majors. He was the runner-up to Tiger Woods last month at the Masters. At the PGA Championship on Long Island, they played together. Tiger struggled, a two-over par 72, while Koepka fired a course-record bogey-free 7-under-63 for the first-round lead.
It's always nice being out ahead, and I don't think it's happened to me that often where, you know, I've got a, what is it, 3-4-shot lead over the field as of right now. But when you take a hole off, it could change very quickly out here, so you just got to keep the pedal down.
And that lead did already dwindle when Danny Lee came in with a 64. Round two today, live coverage 4:15 on Bloomberg Radio. The rumors flying that Kevin Durant's going to leave the Warriors, join the Knicks. Golden State already winning without Durant, as they did before he got there. Yet to lose since Durant's leg injury, Golden State came from 17 down, pulled out a 114-111 win over Portland, and the Warriors have a 2-0 lead in the West Finals. The city of Boston could be getting ready for another title. It'd be the third in 8 months. Bruins look unbeatable right now. 7 straight wins. They've already trailed during that time, finished a sweep of Carolina 4-0, and now into the Stanley Cup final against either San Jose or St. Louis. A Mets ninth inning rally fell short in Washington. They had the bases loaded but lost 7-6. They lost two outfielders to injury. Jeff McNeil, who's batting 354, is day-to-day with an abdominal problem. Michael Conforto suffered a concussion in a collision with teammate Robinson Cano. He's back in New York for an MRI as the Mets play tonight in Miami. The Yankees host Tampa Bay. The winner tonight will be in first place. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. And Deere & Company has just reported earnings. Second quarter net sales beat estimates, but adjusted earnings per share missed. We'll continue to bring you more headlines as they come in. In the meantime, futures more broadly are pointed lower, with S&P futures down 13 points, Dow futures down 113 points, NASDAQ futures down 41. 10-year up 3/32, the yield 2.38%, 2-year Treasury yield 2.17%. Stay with us. This is Bloomberg. Coming up to 6:12 on Wall Street, Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty. NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:17 on Wall Street, and we are getting earnings crossing the Bloomberg, hearing from Deere & Company. Second quarter profit missing analyst estimates and also cut its outlook for the year. Now, Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. Chinese state media says Beijing isn't interested in continuing trade talks without evidence the U.S. is sincere. It also says stimulus will be stepped up to support the economy. OPEC and its allies will wrangle over Iran this week. Producers will spend the next few days discussing the U.S. squeeze on exports. The Pentagon today may publish images of traditional sailing vessels carrying missiles to back up claims the threat from Iran is growing. At the same time, sources tell us President Trump is wary of starting a war that may imperil his chances of re-election. And shares of Baidu tumbled after its revenue forecast fell short of estimates. The company also posted its first loss since listing in 2005. For the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen.
All right, Hannah, thank you. And right now, S&P futures are down 13 points. Dow futures down 106. NASDAQ futures down 40. The DAX in Germany down 0.9%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32. Yield 2.38%. Yield on the 2-year 2.17%. NYMEX crude oil up 1% or 64 cents at $63.51 a barrel. And COMEX gold down 0.1% on $1.10 to $12.85.10 an ounce. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen. A federal judge has ordered portions of special counsel Robert Mueller's report to be unredacted and made public. It's in the case against former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. Flynn is reported to have told the special prosecutor that there were multiple attempts by people in the Trump administration to obstruct the Russia investigation. President Trump unveiled a merit-based immigration plan that would let more skilled, educated green card seekers into the country. In baseball, the Mets lost to the Nationals. The Orioles lost. The A's won. In the NBA Western Finals, the Warriors have a 2-game-to-zip lead over the Trailblazers. In the NHL, the Bruins are heading to the Stanley Cup Final after sweeping the Hurricanes. In golf, Brooks Koepka leads at 7-under after round one of the PGA Championship at Bethpage Black. You can hear round two today starting at 4:15 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 6:20 on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak on a risk-off Friday morning with China appearing to toughen its rhetoric on trade. For more, let's bring in Bloomberg International Economics and Policy Correspondent Michael McKee. It's interesting just to think about what's gotten us to this point, Mike, given that, you know, China used to ban the term trade war in its state media, and now it looks like the gloves are off.
Well, it does, although the Chinese are still being somewhat circumspect about it. They're not as insulting as perhaps we've seen in some other cases because the state media will reflect what the government wants it to. China, it seems, leave a small window open for negotiations, but also build the case that it's the United States' fault in terms of why the negotiations have sputtered at this point. Interestingly, Nathan, the Trump administration, not always known for being straight shooters, shall we say, is getting a lot of support in the media and among analysts saying who do say that it was China who scuppered the talks at this point.
Yeah. So, I mean, where do things stand now? I mean, is there a possibility that we could, you know, behind the scenes get some lower level talks, even as the Chinese rhetoric is saying that, you know, maybe there's no point to it?
They certainly could do that, and that's the suggestion that the administration has made, that they are in contact at lower levels with their Chinese counterparts. There are no negotiations scheduled, and as you said, the Chinese have not expressed any particular interest in the short term in doing that. But it doesn't appear to have been a clean break at this point. And that's why some people are pointing to the G20 meeting and the possibility that Trump may meet Xi Jinping, because they could then reach an agreement to continue talking, and that could be considered progress.
Yeah, an agreement to continue talking, but in the meantime, we're going to have potentially more choppy waters for markets. And, I mean, would the possibility of, you know, another scheduling of talks provide some stability? Or, I mean, you know, it almost feels like we're heading back to square one in some ways.
Well, what's interesting, and this was pointed out by Ben Emmons of Medley Global Advisors yesterday, the markets have been very volatile on a day-to-day basis over this. But if you take a look at options and you look out to July, late July, there is a much greater ratio of calls to puts. There are more people who think that this will be settled, that the markets will have a chance to go up in the future, then go down. There seems to be a lot of optimism on Wall Street that as choppy as the negotiations and volatile as they might be, that in the long run, the two sides have no choice but to make a deal. It will hurt both sides too much. And so it may be that we're just seeing short-term volatility. I'm no stock analyst.
Right, sure.
That out. I can tell you about the economy, but I don't know what the market will do.
Talking of the economy and looking ahead to next week, you're going to be speaking with Atlanta Fed President Rafael Bostic on Monday morning. Give us a little preview here. What are you thinking about asking Bostic?
Well, we're going to definitely talk about what damage the trade wars could do to the U.S. economy. Most analysts say it's not going to have a very big measurable effect on the U.S., although it could raise the inflation rate, particularly if the president were to decide to go ahead with European tariffs as well on cars. So how do they react to that? Do they just say this is the same as anything else, a short-term spike in prices we can look past? Or is it something that they have to react to? And does he think Wall Street's calls for any kind of rate cut would actually do anything to help the economy or boost the inflation rate?
important conversation coming up on Bloomberg Radio and Television again on Monday morning around 9:45 Wall Street time. Atlanta Fed President Rafael Bostic speaking with Bloomberg International Economics and Policy Correspondent Michael McKee. Mike, thanks for talking with us here on Bloomberg Daybreak this Friday morning. Hope you enjoy the weekend. 6:24 now on Wall Street. Straight ahead, signs of strength in the tech sector for some of the latest earnings reports. We'll have more on that and the latest news in business, economics, and finance. Plus, continuing to follow Deere earnings as they continue to cross the Bloomberg. In the meantime, futures pointing to a lower open on this Friday morning. S&P futures down 12 points, Dow futures down 98, and NASDAQ futures down 38 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Bernstein Medical. Losing your hair? Learn how Bernstein Medical uses your own hair to create natural permanent results. Explore BernsteinMedical.com or visit their Manhattan Center. Bernstein Medical, a world leader in robotic hair transplants.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks are falling to close out the trading week after China signaled a lack of interest in resuming trade talks with the U.S. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has more from Hong Kong.
Some strident language here. Xinhua says that China may not be interested in continuing talks. The blog Daran Notes says that the U.S. would need to show sincerity. Otherwise, it would be meaningless for officials to go to China for further talks. And it said if anyone thinks China's bluffing, it would be the most significant misjudgment since the Korean War. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brian, thank you. Deere shares may be under pressure this morning. Earnings missed analyst estimates and the company cut its sales forecast for the year.
Shares of NVIDIA are up more than 1%. The company gave a forecast for the current period that shows computer makers ordering graphics chips again after working their way through an inventory buildup.
Shares of Applied Materials are up more than 5% in early trading. The maker of machines used to manufacture semiconductors gave a stronger than projected forecast. More from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellet.
Applied's forecast indicates that chip makers are betting an industry-wide slowdown in demand will end soon. The company's results and forecast provide a window into the plans of some of the biggest companies in the semiconductor industry. Samsung Electronics, Intel, and Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing are among those that need to buy gear from Applied Materials well ahead of building new factories and production lines. Charlie Pellet, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thank you. Shares of Pinterest are down almost 15%. The digital scrap booking company gave an annual sales forecast that fell short of estimates.
Amazon's ramping up its drive into the European food and groceries business. The world's largest online retailer is leading a $575 million investment in London-based Deliveroo.
And the Bitcoin rally has stalled. At one point, the digital currency slumped more than 13% today. Right now, it is lower by about 6.5%. It is currently trading at $7,180. Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down about 12 points. Dow futures down 98. NASDAQ futures down 39. The DAX in Germany is down almost 0.8%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 2.38%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.17%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.2% or 72 cents at $63.59 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down a tenth of a percent, down $1.50 to $12.8470 an ounce. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, Karen. It is 6:33 on Wall Street, and for more on what's happening around the world, here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. The Pentagon is working with its Defense Intelligence Agency to declassify and release intelligence that officials say backs up the Trump administration's claims of a growing threat from Iran. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
The evidence is said to include images of two traditional sailing vessels carrying what analysts believe are cruise missiles designed to attack land targets, slow-moving boats that could easily be disguised among vessels that transit the Persian Gulf in routine commerce. One person familiar with the intelligence says there's some skepticism about its significance. Either way, Republican Senator Lindsey Graham says lawmakers need to know.
There are a lot of senators feel like they're in the dark, and they dropped the ball on this.
And House Speaker Nancy Pelosi delivered a war powers reminder.
Responsibility in the Constitution is for Congress to declare war.
Asked if the U.S. is headed for war with Iran, the president told reporters, I hope not. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
President Trump has announced a broad plan to reform security and legal immigration, calling for changes that would favor young, educated immigrants instead of those with family ties to the U.S. It calls for a points-based system that prioritizes skilled workers who speak English.
We cherish the open door that we want to create for our country, but a big proportion of those immigrants must come in through merit and skill.
The plan does not address some major issues, including DACA. A federal judge has ordered portions of special counsel Robert Mueller's report to be unredacted and made public. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
This is in the case against former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. Now, Flynn's reported to have told the special prosecutor that there were multiple attempts by people in the Trump administration to obstruct the Russia investigation. He says there's a voicemail. It's not been released who the caller is, and the judge has ordered that it be released no later than May 31st. When it's made public, it could lend credence to allegations in the Mueller report that the president or his lawyers tried to obstruct the investigation. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Ukraine's prosecutor general said that he had no evidence of wrongdoing by Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden or his son, despite allegations by President Trump's lawyer. Taiwan's parliament has approved a landmark gay marriage law, making it the first place in Asia to legalize same-sex unions. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Coming up to 6:36 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashar.
Nathan, Brooks Koepka, Mr. Major. He's won three of the last eight, 10 straight rounds in majors under par. He won last year's PGA Championship with four rounds in the 60s, including a 63. He shot another 63 yesterday on Long Island. Koepka broke the course record at Bethpage Black, although his lead over Danny Lee of New Zealand is only one shot. Tiger Woods trails by nine, a double bogey on his first hole, another one later on. Round two of the PGA today. Live coverage of Bloomberg Radio starting at 4:15. NBA playoffs. Portland led most of the night by 15 at the half, by 8 with 4.5 minutes to go, but the Trailblazers trailed Golden State by 3 at the end.
Lillard with the dribble. Comes hard left side. Tries to hold off. Iguodala. Strict and stolen. Andre stolen. He stolen. Steph Curry throws it up at the horn. It doesn't matter. The game's over. Andre Iguodala with the best hands in the business has given the Warriors game two.
Warriors Radio 114-111 led by Steph Curry's 37 points. His younger brother Seth played well for Portland with 16, but Golden State yet to lose since the Kevin Durant injury, up 2-0 in the West Finals. Boston Bruins in the Stanley Cup Final, a 4-0 win at Carolina, so the Hurricanes got swept just after they swept the Islanders, who were coming off a sweep of the Penguins. The Mets lost in Washington 7-6, down 4-0 early. Michael Conforto's three-run homer tied the game. Mets fell back behind 7-4, scored two in the ninth, had the bases loaded. Sean Doolittle struck out Dom Smith. Conforto left the game with a concussion. Jeff McNeil had to leave with an abdominal injury. The Mets have only won two series since the first week of the season. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashow.
Thank you, John. It's 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
Some 150,000 migrants sought to enter Europe illegally last year. That's a 92% drop since 2015. In numerical terms, Europe's migration crisis is over. Politically, the issue remains as divisive as ever. Ahead of this month's elections to the European Parliament, populists are claiming that Europe's societies are under siege. At a time when shrinking populations threaten Europe's growth, that anti-immigrant agenda is as economically disastrous as it is cynical. To defeat it, European leaders need to demonstrate they can avert chaotic surges in human traffic and accept newcomers in an orderly fashion. The xenophobic rhetoric of right-wing populists has tapped into legitimate public anxieties about the pace of social change. defenders of the European project should get behind a more orderly and rigorously enforced response to illegal immigration and create new ways for immigrants to contribute to Europe's future. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion. Or OPI and Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. The Trump administration is planning to send hundreds of Transportation Security Administration workers to the southwest border to deal with the surge in migrants. Some are concerned it could compromise safety at facilities like airports. Nancy Lyons has details from the Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The Department of Homeland Security is looking for volunteers among TSA workers and Coast Guard members. Bloomberg Government's Michaela Ross says some fear the reallocation of staff will lead to turmoil for leisure travelers.
There's a lot of concern coming from lawmakers, from unions, and from travel groups and trade groups that this is hitting at just the worst time.
The workers will be doing a variety of jobs.
Caring for migrants, providing transportation, even helping with some legal matters.
DHS insists security will not be compromised. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Nancy, thank you. Boeing 737 MAX jets have been grounded for more than 2 months, but now the plane maker has cleared a major hurdle to getting them back in the air. More on that from Bloomberg's John Tucker.
Boeing has finished an update for the software linked to two fatal 737 MAX crashes and is now addressing questions from regulators before submitting the fix for final approval. Boeing says the plane has flown 360 hours with the updated software, and it's developed enhanced training and education materials for the jet. Still, though, the FAA says Boeing hasn't submitted the complete package required to restore a 737 MAX jets to service. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. And it looks like Europe's biggest insurers are on the hook for as much as $450 million from those MAX jet crashes. Munich Re reckons it could pay more than $160 million. Swiss Re expects to pay up to $135 million. And Hanover Re says it might pay as much as $56 million. For now, though, the losses are only on paper. It'll be months, if not years, before payouts are made. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And coming up, the morning call brought to you by Columbia Bank. Yield Plus Checking from Columbia Bank takes the stable growth of a high-rate CD and combines it with the freedom of a checking account. Visit a branch today or ColumbiaBankOnline.com. Count on Columbia.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:47 on Wall Street. Futures this morning are lower. We go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures under pressure amid weakness in global equities as China's state media downplayed chances for trade talks and pledged economic defense. Dow futures currently down 121 points, S&P's dropped 14, and NASDAQ futures declined by 49. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.38%, oil is trading higher, and Shanghai fell 2.5% overnight. But European markets are also under pressure, led by losses in Germany. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 10 o'clock, Michigan sentiment. After the bell last night, NVIDIA and Applied Materials beat estimates. Pinterest is plunging 15% pre-market after its results. And Baidu posted its first loss since its 2005 IPO. Regarding earnings this morning, Deere missed on earnings and cut its guidance. And in deal news, HP Enterprise is said near a deal for supercomputer maker Cray. Wrapping things up, Under Armour was upgraded to overweight at JP Morgan with a price target of 29. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And you mentioned Deere & Company. Shares are down about 3.8% right now in early trading. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, unsealed documents reveal former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn told investigators people connected to the Trump administration and Congress tried to influence his cooperation with Special Counsel Robert Mueller. Meanwhile, the federal judge in Flynn's case has ordered the Justice Department to unredact additional portions of the Mueller report. President Trump is said to be wary of drawing the U.S. into a war with Iran. Asked if the U.S. was going to war, the president replied, "I hope not." In baseball, the Mets lost to the Nationals, the Orioles lost, the A's won. In the NBA Western Finals, The Warriors now have a 2-game lead over the Trailblazers. In the NHL, the Bruins are heading to the Stanley Cup Final after sweeping the Hurricanes. In golf, Brooks Koepka leads after round one of the PGA Championship. You can hear round two today starting at 4:15 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg, on this date in history in 1978, Charlie Chaplin's stolen coffin was found. His grave was robbed 11 weeks before and his remains reburied about a mile away from his home in Switzerland. The thieves demanded a ransom of about $600,000 for the body's safe return, but Chaplin's widow refused to pay, saying Charlie would have thought it ridiculous. Nathan, the police traced the phone calls to the robbers, and the two men were arrested.
Is this something people knew about? I mean, this could have been something.
I remember this story.
You do?
Yes,
because,
I do. I remember.
You know, this could have been something that was lost to history, this Charlie Chaplin grave robbing. But thank you to Bloomberg Daybreak for keeping it back on the front burner.
Yes, of course. Global news 24 hours a day on
I learn
air.
Something new every day on Daybreak. It's amazing.
I'm old. I remember this. And at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries, I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
I do remember the tramp. I got that going for me. Thank you, Michael. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. We're at 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include the U.S. placing Huawei and dozens of its affiliates on an export blacklist, a White House immigration plan getting a cold shoulder from Republicans, and a possible divide in the Trump administration over whether to take military action against Iran. Also making news this morning, House Democrats ramping up legal threats against the Trump administration for defying subpoenas on a couple fronts. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter is back with us with more on this. This is on two congressional investigations specifically, right?
Yeah, so this is looking at the House Intelligence Committee and the House Judiciary Committee specifically, both of whom have been trying to get additional information from the Trump administration, and both of whom essentially escalated, the chairman did, their, you know, showdown with the White House yesterday on these issues.
And I mean, other than rhetorical escalation, I mean, what more can they do to try to get what they want from the administration?
Well, one of the things we're seeing is that on the Intelligence Committee level, Intelligence Chairman Adam Schiff has set a new deadline of May 22nd for essentially getting the information that he wants from the administration. And so I think that that's going to be kind of the next important date to watch here in terms of whether or not this counterintelligence and foreign intelligence material that Mueller, that Special Counsel Robert Mueller uncovered, is in fact turned over. It doesn't look like that's going to be the case. In the Judiciary Committee, they're also seeking additional information from Robert Mueller's report, and were advised yesterday by a White House counsel that they're not going to essentially be getting that information. And so that has really escalated the situation. Now, to your point about, you know, what recourse this leaves for Democrats, for congressional oversight, Chairman, I think that, you know, the question now is whether they seek to get some sort of legal repercussions from their subpoenas if the subpoenas aren't complied with. I think all around subpoenas, all along with subpoenas, have been used as kind of a stick, as a threat, you know, in case the White House really doesn't comply with these demands. But at some point, Democrats are going to have to make good on those threats with the subpoenas.
You know, what's really been interesting to watch throughout all this fight is the White House counsel essentially arguing that the Congress has very limited oversight over the Trump administration, the president in particular, basically saying that the reason for congressional investigations is for legislation as opposed to providing oversight for a president's behavior. I mean, is this headed to the courts?
I think it absolutely could be. I mean, right now, just the battle lines that are being laid out that you just described in terms of the White House, you know, through their counsel, really, I think, seeking to redefine the scope of congressional powers. That's exactly the type of thing that the Supreme Court could ultimately end up weighing in on. And it's the kind of battle that really we haven't seen to this level between the executive branch and the legislative branch since the Watergate years. And so, as we all know, that did lead to, some dramatic rulings related to executive privilege and other issues. And so I think that this could be heading in that same direction. Now, it certainly all signs right now are pointing in that direction.
Yeah, and in terms of the Supreme Court becoming a campaign issue now, it seems like that's really coming to the fore, particularly this week with some of the fast-moving developments we've seen at the state level when it comes to abortion rights.
Yeah, so this is something that, you know, a lot of abortion rights advocates, pro-choice advocates had warned about going back to Neil Gorsuch, who was appointed by Trump early in his administration to the court, and also obviously during last year's Brett Kavanaugh confirmation hearings. I think that now what people are worried about is what we're seeing in states like Alabama, Georgia, Ohio, and elsewhere are these very restrictive immigration laws. In some ways, the Alabama law is being talked about as, you know, having been proposed specifically to work its way up to the Supreme Court as a challenge to the Roe v. Wade ruling. And I think the thinking, or at least the hope among, you know, pro-life advocates is that now the balance in the court has been reset so that Roe could even be overturned. And so I think that, you know, with that happening in the background, certainly I think what we're seeing is Democrats trying to galvanize progressive opposition and progressive fears about changes to Roe to sort of get their voters to the poll in November. And even before that, you know, get voters behind them in these Democratic primary states.
Bloomberg, Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thank you as always. Read more of these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. It is 6:55 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Ramesh Panuru, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. In our trade war with China, the best case scenario is that the Chinese government will make needed reforms to get the Trump administration to lift tariffs. But our strategy is plagued by misconceptions. President Trump appears to believe, for example, that Chinese companies bear the full cost of our tariffs on their exports. This is untrue. Other observers say that because we import more from China than China imports from us, it has more to lose. That ignores the costs of our tariffs to American households and businesses. Another misconception is that Trump's tariffs will help blue-collar workers in the industrial heartland. This is unlikely even in the best-case scenario. Stronger protection for American intellectual property will generate more jobs in California and even in China than it will in Ohio. I hope Trump's tariffs lead to a breakthrough deal, but these errors make us overestimate how promising a strategy is. I'm Ramesh Panuru. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time, Karen.
Thanks, Nathan. 6:56 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
Elephants can't vote, but they may decide Botswana's elections in October. Pachyderms have polarized Botswana, a dry, landlocked African nation with little choice but to rely on wildlife and diamonds for income. Humans and elephants compete for water in the only areas where farmers can grow such crops as corn and sorghum. The government wants to lift a ban on hunting the animals because they're destroying crops and occasionally trampling people to death in the country of 2.3 million. Allowing thinning of the elephant population could boost President Mokgweetsi Masisi's popularity ahead of general elections in October. Conservationists fiercely opposed to the idea say Botswana is one of the animals' last safe havens in Africa. They contend the government is in denial that poaching is on the rise. As the herd has grown in Botswana, they say so too has tourism, an industry that accounts for a fifth of Botswana's economy. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. We continue to watch shares of Deere and Company down more than 4% in early trading after the world's biggest tractor maker missed on earnings for a sixth straight quarter and cut its guidance. And futures this morning are moving lower as well. And we'll be keeping an eye on Deere and futures all morning on Bloomberg Surveillance, which is straight ahead with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.